Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.org. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 10:15 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
For me, we're singing, how marvelous. Singing how
marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
Amen. Father God, we are so grateful and yet so undeserving of your goodness and your love to us. God, how indeed marvelous, miraculous, wonderful, amazing your love is. God, I love that, Father, we can stand and sing songs like that of proclamation in assurance, full assurance, knowing that we do not serve a defeated God. We don't serve a God who is dead. We serve a God who is alive, who is here right now, who is in our midst. God, I love that truth. I love that we sing songs like that, God, that we sing songs that are not weak. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's freedom in the name of Jesus. There is hope in the name of Jesus. There is salvation in the name of Jesus. And God, I'm so grateful for that. We are so grateful for that. How marvelous, God. How indeed marvelous you truly are. God, bless the rest of this service, God. Thank you for the worship. And God, be with us now as we enter into a time of the word, God, of your word. Speak to us this morning, God. Bless our pastor. In your name we do pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning, First Baptist Church. If you are participating online, you're probably wondering why I'm in my backyard and not in the worship center with everyone else. And if you're participating in the worship center, you are surely wondering why I'm not there. Well, earlier this week, one of the people in my home, one of my family members, tested positive for COVID-19. So we are under a quarantine as a family and we'll be out this Sunday and next Sunday. I'm going to preach this Sunday right here by video, but next Sunday, Brent Porter, our new student pastor, will be preaching his first official message as our student pastor, and he'll be preaching from a passage in James that is a very well-known passage, but not an easy one to live out, and so he'll be sharing about that next week. But for today, I want to share in our second week of this Essential Faith series, looking at the scripture in James. If you have your Bible, turn to James chapter 1. Now, while you're turning, let me share with you a little illustration. I love some of the great comedians from the 50s, 60s, and 70s, and there were a number that have gone on now, passed away, but who were really impactful in our culture, in our nation. One of those was Flip Wilson. Flip Wilson was known for character sketch comedy back in the early 70s and the Flip Wilson Show. His most famous character was named Geraldine Jones, and this character had a very famous catchphrase. What was it? Say it out loud. That's right. The devil made me do it. Listen, friends, how many times we would love as believers to be able to have a free pass and to say, well, the devil made me do it. But I want to tell you, if you're a follower of Jesus, then you need to know that you can live a victorious life, and you need to learn four great truths concerning the devil, God, and you. And here they are, the four truths. Write these down. Number one, God will not tempt you to sin. Number two, the devil cannot make you sin. Number three, God always provides a way to avoid sin. And then number four, the outcome is up to you. The outcome is up to us. Surely, Chris, that can't be right from Scripture. Surely it's all God that does it. No, let me show you how God sets the stage that then we can make a decision to walk in holiness. Look at James chapter 1, beginning in verse 13. It says, let no one say when he is tempted that I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. It says that God does not tempt us. God's not playing some cosmic game of chess and treating you as the pawn just to see what he can talk you into doing or not doing. It doesn't work that way. In fact, he's not sitting around trying to trip you up. He is not testing you in that regard and in that way. Last week, we talked about the testing that comes by heating a fire to remove impurities. But the type of testing where he just sees if he can mess us up, that is not what God is about. And James is clear to point that out. God will not tempt you to sin. But look at the next verse, James 1:14. It says, but each person is tempted when he is lured away by his own desires. Now, what does that mean? Well, temptation comes from two main sources. It comes from our own desires, which I really think is one of the strongest ways we are tempted. And then it does come from Satan's schemes. Satan or one of his minions will often bring about temptations in our heart and mind. But Satan will always use things that will influence our self-made desires, our selfish desires. We can see this in Acts chapter 5 with Ananias and Sapphira. It tells us that Satan tempted them. We see it in Judges 16 with Samson and Delilah. It tells us that Satan was behind that. And there are many more examples in the scripture that Satan will, or one of his minions will, tempt us, but we are truly lured by our own evil desires. It's our flesh. Satan cannot make you sin. Let me say it again. Satan cannot make you sin. The devil did not make you do it. I'll show it to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. It says this, no temptation, none. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But when the temptation comes, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Think about what that says. God always provides a way to avoid sin. I tried to think of a catchy way that you could memorize it, a way that it would be easy to remember. And so this is the phrase I came up with. Write this down, please. God tempers the temptation to adjust to your abilities. Let me say it again. God tempers the temptation to adjust to your abilities. Look at that verse again from 1 Corinthians 10. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. So the scripture tells us that temptation is common for all men, but that we each have a unique flesh and we have different levels of intensity in our unique flesh, in our unique personalities. So things that are difficult and hard for me to resist might be easy for you. And things that are difficult and hard for someone else to resist might be easy for me. I've used this illustration several times over the years, so a lot of you will have heard it, but it's worth repeating because it makes sense. The easiest way to define whether it's your flesh at work and why we all have the same temptations, but at the same time, our individual lives can be affected very differently by sins, is to take a trip to a grocery store. If you take a trip to any grocery store and you start walking up and down the aisles with me, there are going to be certain aisles that tempt you that do not tempt me, and there will be certain aisles that tempt me that do not tempt you. I've shared this before. I think you all will not be surprised by this. If you walk down the aisle that has the big boxes of Krispy Kreme donuts there, and even though I'm trying to eat right and do better, if I walk down that aisle and I have to park it there for a while, I'm going to be tempted. And maybe for you, you can walk by that with no big deal. You can go down the aisle where the alcohol is, and the truth is, I don't drink. I don't drink alcohol. In fact, this may be hard for some to believe, but at 49 years old, I've never tasted a drop of alcohol. I just haven't. It's not something that is a part of my life personally. So I can walk down that aisle. I could camp out and put a tent there, and I could stay there for a week and not be tempted in any way to drink until a level of drunkenness. However, there are some of us maybe that are listening right now to me, watching or part of this, that for you, every time you find yourself with a glass of wine or some type of alcohol in your hand, it always seems to lead to drunkenness. It's a problem for you and your flesh. And so for us, we're very different. Now, some of us, we could go down a different aisle where all the magazines are. And for certain people, it'd be no big deal to walk right past those. For others, we might need to cover our eyes because we don't need to be tempted by the people who don't have enough clothes on the cover of those magazines. We don't need to be tempted by some of the gossip comments that are there that would want us to revel in somebody else's difficulty. So on and on I could go, but you get the point, is that we are all tempted in the same way, but it affects us very differently because of our flesh. So when we read the scripture that says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man, and God is faithful, He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. What that means is God knows your weakness. God knows my fleshly weakness. So every time we're tempted, He steps in and gets involved in a proactive way. It's as if God puts His sovereign hand there as the temptation comes. And He says, okay, temptation, you can't get any closer, because if you do, Chris is not going to be able to withstand this. I'm going to stop you right here. Now, Chris, you can do this. I've given you everything you need in your life for life and godliness. You have the Holy Spirit inside of you. You can do this. And He stops that temptation. So if God provides the way of escape, I want you to think about what that means for a minute. God is proactive in the fight every time you are trying to live victorious against temptation. I don't mean He's sitting around thinking about it. The scripture says He provides the way of escape for you. He is proactively involved when you are tempted. Now, friends, if God is proactively involved when you're tempted, wouldn't you think we need to be proactive in it as well? You see, God understands the truth of James 1:15, of what happens when temptation turns to sin. Look what happens. James 1:15. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. You see, God knows that often in our lives, temptation leads to sin, and every time, sin leads to death. It will kill the person we're trying to be. It will kill the testimony we're trying to live out. It will kill the joy and the peace we have of walking in the holiness of God. So, God wants better for you. God desires more for me. He provides victory for us. So, the outcome of the temptation really is up to you. The outcome is up to you. So you say, well, that's a lot of pressure, so how do I do it? Well, the good news is God's not going to tempt you. Satan can't make you do something. God provides a way out, but then the way out involves a plan. So you're really not on your own. You just have a part to play in it. So what is the plan? Well, if I can give you what I believe is a simple plan to defeat temptation, if you're an 8-year-old child in the room wanting to defeat temptation when you're tempted to do something you shouldn't, if you're an 80-year-old man in the room wanting to defeat temptation or anything in between or above or below that, friends, here's a plan that will work for you. It starts with this. When we go to Scripture, Joseph teaches us in Genesis 39. Paul teaches the same thing in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And then in Timothy teaches us in 2 Timothy 2 this very simple concept. Here it is. Flee at the first suggestion. Let me say it again. Flee at the first suggestion. Let me explain what I mean. I'm outside in my backyard and there's some woods behind me. And we've seen a number of snakes over the last year we've lived here come out of these woods. And, you know, it's been fine. They've all been non-poisonous so far. But I promise you, if right now, in the next 30 seconds, I get bit by a snake, it's only for one reason. It's because I didn't see the snake. Anytime I'm out walking in these woods, anytime I'm on one of the walking trails, I promise you, I'm looking. Why? Because I don't like snakes. I don't like dead snakes. I don't like alive snakes. I don't like poisonous snakes. I don't like non-poisonous snakes. So if I get bit by a snake, it's because I didn't see one. Every time I see one, the first thing I know to do is to step back. I step back and I evaluate what's going on. Well, listen, the same is true when it comes to temptation. If you don't want to get bit by the temptation that leads to sin, at the first suggestion of temptation, flee, back away. then also Paul says in Romans chapter 13, verses 13 and 14, he says this, "Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires." So not only are we to flee at the first suggestion of temptation, but second is make no provision for the flesh. How do we do that? That means to avoid the temptation when at all possible. Make no provision is don't put yourself in a tempting situation to start with. And if you are put in it, know in advance how you plan to escape it. So we flee at the first suggestion, we make no provision for the flesh, and then the third part of the plan is this. Jesus taught us how to be proactive in the fight. When Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness, Jesus responded all three times with Scripture. And so that's the plan. We respond with Scripture. Psalm 119:11 tells us this. It says, "I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." I memorized that by a different translation years ago that says, "Thy word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against God." In other words, we put Scripture in our heart. You can't just have it in a leather-bound Bible. You can't just have it on your phone. You can't just have it in an app. You're not always going to have that available when you need it. You need to put Scripture in your heart that you might not sin against God. And what we put in our heart, when the temptation comes in those moments, it will often come welling up into our mind, into our memory, and we'll be able to put it into practice. But the reality is, if you don't have Scripture in your heart, you will never be able to bring it to mind to put it into practice. You can't, in the middle of a temptation, say, "Hold on, let me grab my Bible." Listen, it doesn't work that way. It will be too late. You will already have been lured away and enticed, as the Scripture says there. You will already have been drawn, and that sin, that temptation, will give birth to sin. And before you know it, that sin has led to death, and it's all happened just like that. So we have to put it in our heart. What's some examples of verses we can claim and put in our heart and memorize so that we're ready? Well, if you struggle with lust, and listen, the reality is there are a number of people who probably struggle with lust or issues of their thought life. Can I encourage you? Here's a couple of good verses to memorize. Job 31:1 says, "I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a woman." Men and women, some of you need to memorize that verse so that every time you're tempted, you can just quote it and pull it right back out. For others, maybe your struggle is your thought life leading to anger or frustration or worry or doubt, and it all starts when you get online on your phone, on your computer, on an app, whatever the case may be. I want to encourage you to memorize Psalm 101, verse 3. It says, "I will set before my eyes no vile things. The deeds of faithless men I hate, they will not cling to me." So maybe for you, you'll memorize that like I have, and every time before you get online, say those words so that as you're scrolling, listen, here's what I've learned. You don't have to go looking for trouble online. It will come looking for you. Things that will make you angry, things that will make you lust, things that will make you unsure of your salvation, things that will make you want to gossip, things that will make you fearful. They'll come find you. Evil will hunt you, and it knows how to use technology. So if I can encourage you, you need to have a verse ready that will help you learn to fight that battle and scroll away, skip away, move away, turn it off when that temptation comes. "I will set before my eyes no vile things. The deeds of faithless men I hate, they will not cling to me." Father, right now I will seek to do that as I look at this. And so use that in your mind, in your heart, put it into practice. There are many other scriptures. The one that Brent's going to preach from next week says, "Be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry." It's a great verse that we've all heard before. Simple enough to say, it rolls right off the tongue, but boy, is it hard to live. We need to memorize that, put it in our hearts the next time we're wanting to really fight back or speak back, or just bite back really quickly to something that's said, we can say, "No, I want to do as I've learned in James, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. I'm going to walk away." And we make the commitment to do that. Maybe for you, it's issues of fear. So there's many, many scriptures we looked at in our last series that you could memorize to help you in that way. Whatever the case may be, respond with Scripture. So we have this plan that starts with flee at the first suggestion, make no provision for the flesh. In other words, develop a real plan to avoid situations. Respond with scripture, and the way to do that is to memorize them, put them in your heart. And then lastly, we learn to pray. We simply learn to pray. Jesus taught us to pray these words, "Lead us, God, not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Now listen, God's not going to lead you into temptation. We just read that in James chapter 1. He won't do that. So when Jesus said to pray that, what did he mean? What he was saying to us is to pray and ask God to lead us so that we don't end up in temptation. Commit to God that we will follow him so that we don't end up in temptation. So lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. That part of the Lord's Prayer, that's an important reminder that we're saying, God, I will follow you. I will follow your lead. Now lead me, help me. So be reminded of those four phrases we talked about from the beginning. God will not tempt you to sin. The devil cannot make you sin. God always provides a way to avoid sin. And then lastly, the outcome is up to you. By the power of the Holy Spirit at work in your life, as a follower of Jesus, the scripture says you've been made more than a conqueror. The scripture says you've been given everything you need for life and godliness. The scripture tells us to be holy because he is holy. So I want you to understand we can walk in a victorious life. Does that mean we will be sin-free for the rest of our lives? I don't think so. I've yet to see that in any human. But here's what I know. It means we can make the right choice with the next temptation. And we can make the right choice with the next temptation after that. We can seek to live the abundant life that God's called us to. So can I ask you, where have you been defeated lately? Is it thought life? Is it anger? Is it gossip? Is it pride? Is it immorality? Is it greed? I don't know. But here's what I do know. The devil didn't make you do it. And God provided a way out. You and I simply didn't take the way that he provided. So will you make a change today? There really is a simple plan. Flee at the first suggestion. Make no provision for the flesh. Make sure we take time to stop and put God's word in our heart. And that's all done ahead of time for the most part. We're planning to make no provision. We're planning by investing in God's word. And then we're learning to look with our eyes ahead of time so we can flee at the first suggestion. Those are all proactive things we can do to be obedient to God and defeat temptation that comes our way. And then lastly, we pray. So really, none of these are about just reacting in a situation. Every one of them are what we decide to do up front to be a follower of Jesus who will live for him. I love the hymn, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus." It's one of my very favorites. And the second verse is a verse that gets overlooked a lot. It's not sung a lot. We like to sing the first and last verse. We good Baptists do. But in the middle, verse number 2, it says this, "Over us sin no more has dominion, for more than conquerors we are." Over us sin no more has dominance, dominion, for more than conquerors we are. That is singing a truth straight from God's word. And so I want to invite you this morning to realize that we have been made more than conquerors through the blood of Jesus Christ. So we too can say that over us sin no more has dominion. Now we may be letting it, we may be giving it permission to have dominion in our lives, but God has made you more than a conqueror. So will you try this plan? We're going to sing that song right now. Don's going to come back up, going to lead that song. And as we sing it, let it be a renewed commitment in your life that you will make a plan to defeat temptation. Friends, I believe you can do it, but it really doesn't matter what I believe. It really matters that God believes it. He said so. He shows us that he has provided the way of escape, that we can walk in that. And then it really matters, do you believe it? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Father God, I pray that every person that's participating in worship today can make a renewed commitment that if we are followers of yours, we have dominion over sin and we are more than conquerors. So we turn our eyes to you and we learn to flee at the first suggestion. Father, we learn to make no provision for the flesh, to make a game plan to avoid situations. Father, we learn that we can come to Scripture and take it in and put it into practice. And then we seek to pray ask you to help us. So because of that, now we turn our eyes to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.